Please be seated, for now is the time for the sermon. I've made you feel pretty uncertain here today, but beyond that, I think we can all agree that we're living in uncertain times. We've got rising inflation, wars overseas, extreme partisanship and unrest amongst our government leaders and ourselves, a pandemic that seems never ending, natural disasters increasing in frequency and severity, just a lot of social and economic upheaval. There are a lot of people who are having a tough time out there. And while I have, and I think we all have, a lot of hope with the start of the new year, I have to be honest with you, I have no idea what's going to happen in 2023. But this isn't the first time, not even in my own lifetime, that humans have experienced uncertainty. I think back, you know, the recession of 2008, the fear caused by the September 11th attacks on our country, going back even further, you know, civil rights movements, two world wars, a Great Depression. That's just in the last century. And only in the United States. So Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were also living in uncertainty. You'll remember that Herod instructed the Magi from the east to return to him once they found the infant king that they were seeking, you know, so he could worship him. And as Herod waited to hear from the Magi, they received warning by a dream that they should take a different way home. Yeah. See, Herod was a rather, let's say Herod was a rather insecure king. And even though he was appointed to rule by the Romans, he still had to fight for several years to take control. He killed countless people to eliminate any rivals. Like even his wife and one of his sons he killed because he suspected they wanted to overthrow him. Herod was so unliked that before he died, he commanded all the political prisoners to be killed so that the entire land would be filled with mourning upon his death. So you can imagine that when Herod realized that the Magi had tricked him, he was angry. And in a jealous rage, he gave orders that all of the boys in Bethlehem, aged 2 and under, were to be killed. Thankfully, right before this, an angel appeared to Joseph yet again in a dream, telling him to take his family and to flee to Egypt. Jesus would be safe there. It's outside of Herod's jurisdiction. Everything would be fine. And then again, once after Herod died, an angel appeared again to Joseph and instructed him to take the child home to Nazareth. The point here is that God can protect the Messiah from hurt, harm, danger, even from the most despicable people and in the most despised places. I find this story to be a particularly difficult story. It seems kind of odd to tell the week after Christmas. You know, that nice manger scene isn't there anymore. The shepherds, the angels, the wise men, and all of their gifts disappear, and we're left with horror. Joseph and Mary and Jesus become refugees, fleeing in terror to another land where they're hoping to seek asylum. My hunch is that this holy family, and quite honestly, everyone else around them, had probably seen enough Christmas. They must have been pretty tired of the uncertainty, and they were ready for things to return to normal, whatever normal means. But they would never see normal again. This baby brought about a new normal. And some people say that it was after the Oklahoma City bombing in April of 1995 that that phrase, the new normal, first entered our vocabularies. Like, now that this has happened, normal won't be normal anymore. Then we forgot about it for a while, and we used the phrase again after September 11th. And then we forgot about it again. And we use it again today to describe that anxious malaise that lingers around the uncertainty of COVID-19. With all of that latent fear surrounding it. With any new normal, from prolonged family crises, financial crises, to this just general haunting sense of uncertainty, there's also a sense of grief. Because our lives change quickly. That glory to God in the highest can quickly dive into, my God, why have you forsaken me in less than a human heartbeat? Even that holy family wasn't given the luxury of sleeping in heavenly peace for very long. The flutter of angels' wings and Joseph's dreams warned of an evil tyrant on the loose, going door to door looking for babies to kill. Again, it seems like this is an odd scripture to read during Christmas. There's all this violence and uncertainty and wielding of power, and yet, this story gives me a lot of hope. It gives me hope because it reminds me that God is with us. It's precisely because of the dislocation that occurs within people's lives. It's because of the insane abuses of power by those who wield it. It's because innocent people suffer and others are left heartbroken and mourning. It's because we are so often left grasping at straws to find meaning. It's because of those things that God enters the world in Jesus. God doesn't remain separate from the world in which these things happen. But God comes into Jesus, and through Jesus shares in this world and feels for us. God didn't remain apart from the reality of suffering. Wherever we find ourselves, we're never off of God's map. God's been there before. Even in the land of loss, even in faraway Egypt, even the new normal is not new to God. The good news here, what brings me hope, is that God loves us so much, that Jesus endures unimaginable suffering and torturous death to take all of this suffering in our lives, brings it into himself as well. God literally shares our pain. The even better news is that Jesus' suffering and death are not the last word. God raises Jesus from the dead and pours out the Holy Spirit on all of creation. All of us who live in the uncertainty of this life, well, we can be certain that the suffering and wailing and fleeing that we and other people experience isn't ignored by God. And it's shared by Jesus, who continues to look upon us with compassion. So here we sit today, in a new year, in the bittersweet memories of an old year. And in our hearts, we hold this bizarre Christmas story. God somehow uses this collage of odd images to fulfill a commitment to us. With our grief in one hand and our gratitude in the other, we can embrace uncertainty, because God's big promise is to never, ever leave or forsake us. Thanks be to God.